And welcome to AFL Tonight, ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I am your host, Tim Capper, along with Jim Robinson in the exploding neighborhood.
Hello. Yeah, you heard that big boom, huh?
That was crazy, man. No, yeah. Nobody heard it off air, obviously, but that's crazy because you and I are talking, all of a sudden, and you were like, don't worry.
It's just a transformer.
Yeah, but no, it's just squirrels.
Squirrel math.
At least you don't have to worry about dinner tomorrow night. You know, it's already fried up. It's already there. It's, you know, as long as you got to fight, I'm sure, the other vermin that are trying to get their next meal. But you know what? And it's not roadkill. So, you know, that's a positive.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
There's not much meat on a squirrel, though.
Nah, but you know, I'm sure it's still good eatings.
Yeah, anything is if you cook it right.
There you go. And what better way than to, you know, with a powerful explosion from a transformer? You know.
Like, so what's the oddest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, not to be fair and honest, I'm.
You're not adventurous.
I am not adventurous. I think I've tried brain once. My wife and I had tried brain, and we were eating because we were...
What kind of brain?
Either way, just...
Calf brain, lamb brain?
I don't know what it was. I don't remember because I'm trying to remember what it was in French because we were eating at a French restaurant up in southwest of Montreal, up in the Laurentian Mountains, at Mont Tremblant. And... We were
Mont-Tremblant.
Yeah, it was something given to us, and you know the meal was given to us in the weekend, and we were like, okay, let's try this. It was Cajun week, actually. It was Cajun week, and then we
did. You know what you were getting?
Well, I looked at it. I thought I knew what it was, and then was like, this is disgusting. it's like that in eating. I've had liver, and that's even disgusting too, because it's like it coats your freaking tongue, man. Like
this the iron taste, yeah.
No, it's a coating. It's like, oh yeah. Disgusting. So where are you on the adventurous scale?
I've tried a lot of different foods. Mm. I don't know which one I would say is the most adventurous. I guess it depends on where you're from. But every time I travel, I try to do a meal that is completely indigenous to that area for whatever reason.
Okay.
So, you know, New Orleans boudin. I've had snails. I've had liver. I've had had brains. What else? Other weird things have I had? I guess I shouldn't say weird because for some people that's normal.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Oh, okay.
I've had those ants. I've had I don't know. I've had others. I just can't think of them at the moment.
Okay. More adventurous than me.
You never know when you try something new and different how it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know,
actually, the oddest thing I ever did was I was backpacking in Alaska, and we caught a fish, and we just ate it raw.
Okay. See, you went all grizzly on it. So I was like, okay.
You know. Yep, I went all Jeremiah Johnson on everybody.
Nice. Arena Bowl week. There is stuff going on. There are announcements. There haven't been any announcements so far when it comes to any new advertisers or anything like that, or expansion. That's still currently up in the air. But there were some announcements on the usual year-end awards, and it was pretty cool to see who got what, and you know, especially when we were talking about who we chose. When we talked about the few choices that we had, I know we're going to go over them a little bit. We have some questions of the week, have our pick. I don't know if we're going to do our picks now because we may have another show prior to that with Adam Markowitz before the game itself. But from what you've seen so far, we're going to go over them. Anything that surprised you without going into detail? That's so stupid.
Surprised me as far as what?
Well, any of the choices, we're going to go over them, but I'm saying, did any of them in particular surprise you? Who got the award and you were thinking, well, wait a minute, that to me, that doesn't seem right.
I'm going to answer that there's one that stands out, but not for that reason.
Okay. Well, then let's continue the convo and we'll go from there. So since we have done our show, our last show, the Kicker and Playmaker of the Year came out. And that was Kendrick Ings of the Storm and Trevino of Philadelphia. Any real surprises there? To me, it was pretty dead on, I think.
Yeah, that pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. Then on Friday, it was the Offensive and Defensive Lineman of the Year. That went to, I'm trying to find them here. It went to Tribune of Philadelphia. Tribune of Philadelphia. And then Smith from Baltimore for defensive.
Well, that's defensive line.
Yeah.
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 Well, you know, some people can, you could have made an argument that maybe the Mac linebacker, because usually you think of the defensive front as the front four. I know in 2011 that was the case I played, and Cliff Dukes was the Mac linebacker, and he won defensive lineman of the year that year. And that kind of flummoxed some people because he really wasn't a defensive lineman. But there isn't an award for the Mac linebacker of the year.
Okay, yeah.
So that my argument was, well, we always talk about this as far as the front end of a defense and a back end of a defense, the front four and the back four. So let's put them in there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, I'd like to know how the ballots broke down. I like the Kareem Smith pick. It's interesting for – how spread out his career is in the Arena Football League.
Yeah.
That's a totally different story. But I think Justin Lawrence might have been a worthy candidate there as well. If you talk to the Philadelphia Soul people in their locker room, they feel he's the stir that – the straw that – I totally screwed
I know
that
where
up.
You're trying to go with this.
The straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. Someone else screwed that phrase up before, too. But yeah, I think Justin Lawrence would have been a worthy candidate as well. But I think Kareem Smith was a good pick.
Smith also became the first ever honoree to win the award on a first year of an expansion team.
Very true.
So, see if there's any little tidbits here that the league gave us. For the offensive lineman for Tribune, it marks the second time in 3 years that a member of the Soul offensive line has won the award.
Yeah, they know how to pick them.
Yes.
And they know how to work with them.
Yeah. Then on this past Monday, and we'll go over this a little bit in a minute, it was the first and second team All-Arena were announced, but we'll move forward to Tuesday first. And get over the individual ones so far. Wide receiver and defensive back of the year. Wide receiver went to Joe Hills. And defensive back went to Hollis from Philadelphia.
I like both of them.
Yeah. Hills becomes the first player to be recognized in back-to-back years. And the first receiver to be named to the award twice.
That was surprising to me. And I probably should know better, but when I read that line,
uh-huh.
It didn't occur to me that was even possible. I should, like I said, as long as we've been following the game and working in the game and et cetera, we should know that. But it still came as a shock to me with the great receivers this game has had.
Yeah, but remember, the Wide Receiver of the Year award only started in 2011.
Is that right?
According to the press release, yeah. And according to what we have on an Arena Fan also, if I'm not mistaken. Because I don't know if they called it anything else, because, you know, 2011 was the first...
No, because, well, I guess you could say offensive specialist.
Different, though. Completely different.
How's that? Most of those offensive specialists were wide receivers.
It's true, and you know what? I will...
I'll take the mulligan on that one.
I think you're actually correct on that one. It's just a matter of... They are the same award, but they aren't the same award. Does that make any sense? I mean, if you go back and check the yearly awards Where is the damn thing? Here it is. League Awards. If you go back and you check 2008, which is the last year that they gave those things out, it went Iron Man, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Head Coach of the Year, Support, Executive of the Year, Al Lucas, Quarterback of the Year. So they were slightly, they're slightly different. Even back going back to 2007.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
So, I mean, what you say makes sense, but again, it's still... It's still pretty prestigious to be the first guy to be the first person to win it twice.
It is, no doubt. I just guess I was just thinking with all the different great receivers and the great seasons some of them had back to back, and
right.
It was interesting. But you're right, when you look back at all the different awards, they've changed sometimes year to year. I mean, there used to be the Don't Blink Player of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right, Offensive Player of the Year. You're right. I was wrong.
Uh-oh. Chalk this one up. I'm going to write that down. And then today...
Yeah, write it down.
And then today, it was the Rookie of the Year, and to no surprise, it went to Baltimore quarterback Shane Carden. And
yeah,
he becomes the first Rookie of the Year on an expansion team since 2001, which happened to be R. Cal Truluck of the Detroit Fury.
Mm-hmm.
In between his...
That bounced around between the Arena League, NFL, and...
Oh, no, that was his bouncing in between. I think it was at that time, it was between... He was double-dipping like Robert Gordon was.
And Kelvin Kinney.
Double-dipping.
In three seasons, he played, I think it was more than 90 games.
Yeah, because I think he was in between the CFL stint, because I think Arcal played for the Alouettes for a slight period of time, Montreal Alouettes, so... But yeah, I don't think there's any surprise there when it comes to came to that award, right?
It's hard to
believe the Rookie of the Year only goes back to 1997. I thought that they would have done something before that, but they hadn't. That's weird. That's what it says, 1997. So
yeah.
Now the first and second all team. It was something tells me this was very hard to do to choose, considering who was on these. Who basically was, you know, when it came to the like first and second team quarterback, going over the first team, any of the ones that were there, should they have been switched with a second teamer? Meaning, should the second teamer have been the first teamer?
Is
anybody not there that should have been?
I think the closest one in most people's minds might be at Jack linebacker with Alvin Ray Jackson and Joe Goosby. But I think if you really take a moment and look at the season Alvin Ray had, he was deserving of it. I think maybe at defensive back, you might have been able to bump up one of the second teamers. But I really think the way it shook out is pretty fair. On the offensive line, that was where I was going to say my surprise.
Okay.
Center, Raymond McNeil. Very happy for him. Very deserving. I pegged him at second team. I didn't know how the voters were going to treat some of the offensive linemen, like Wayne Tribue, who split time at guard and at center.
Okay.
And where they were going to vote guys in. You know, and it seems to me there might have been a amongst the teams and the voters and the coaches, an emphasis on one of the best traits a player can have. One of the greatest abilities they can have is availability.
Right.
We've heard that quote before. Carvalho, obviously, people felt he didn't get enough games in. And so he didn't make first or second team center. And Tribue played, I want to say it was 6 to 8 games at center. I mean, he started every game this year, but they weren't all at center and some of them were at guard. So I didn't know how this was going to shake out. I found it interesting that Parker made first team, and that of all the linemen that won awards, you only have one sole player on the offensive line, which was the best line this season by far.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, people will say, oh, they play the quick pass game. You know what? That takes the quarterback, that takes the receivers, and that takes a line. And teams know they're going to do that, and teams try to game plan to get their hands up and knock balls down, and they don't have a lot batted down at the line of scrimmage. They do a good job. So I think for me, the biggest surprise was just one sole offensive lineman amongst the six.
What about Mark Lewis not getting chosen to be on either teams for the first and second team kicker?
You miss enough kicks, that happens.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock. You know, he by far is the best onside kicker of all the kickers in the league.
Yeah.
I don't think it's close. And he did a magnificent job with his kickoffs, but he had enough misses in there that I can see why they put Pat Clark second team. Pat Clark had a higher conversion rate and did a really solid job on his kickoffs. And did I forget how many bar balls he had, but at least two games come to mind. One in which the Baltimore Brigade beat the Philadelphia Soul, and another one in which they put a big fight on with the Tampa Bay Storm. And in both of those games, his ability to hit the bar or just get awkward bounces off the net were huge for the Brigade.
Right.
And he did a good job of that.
Okay. Hey, that was really my only question would have been for Mark Lewis.
Yeah.
But it was good to see that the expansion teams did get a little bit of love. That was a plus. I mean,
Baltimore got more all arena guys than the Tampa Bay Storm did.
Wow. Wow.
If you combine first and second team, they had more members on the all arena team.
That would be a surprise. That is a surprise. I didn't even think about it that way. Coming up are the major awards, obviously, for the remainder of the 2017 AFL Awards season. Thursday, I think there are some, to me, and it doesn't mean I'm downplaying them anyway, but they are, to me, they're a little bit minor than they're not player awards on Thursday.
Staff, commissioner award, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Official of the year, equipment manager, sports medicine team. And then on Friday, you got the big awards. It's going to be taking place at the arena between 4 and 6 p.m. at Wells Fargo, where it's going to be media day, and it's going to be the award ceremony at the same time. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the award ceremony is going to be broadcast on AFL Now, which is free, by the way.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's everything else. So Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year, Head Coach of the Year, the 2017 Arena Football League MVP, and the Commissioner's Award. So that will occur on Friday. Keep up to date with social media here at Arena Fan, and we'll make sure that you get all the news. And again, it'll be free. If you're free from 4 to 6, tune into AFL Now, and you'll be able to watch it. So.
And I don't think that there will be any surprises, or anybody will be shocked or surprised by any of the people that win those awards.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. So, the league announced who the broadcasters are going to be this year. And surprisingly, there are going to be two broadcasts. And this wasn't originally what was supposed to occur. Originally, when it was announced, you know, we knew about AFL Now, we knew about Twitter, we knew that was coming. But then 6ABC in Philadelphia became a part of the mix. And then now, based on what they are saying in the press release, is that they're going to be two separate broadcast teams,
yep.
Two separate broadcasts. And what's funny, and somebody pointed it out to me, that this may be the reason why, but Ari Wolf and Seth Bonner are going to be on the Philadelphia broadcast. And I was actually...
6ABC.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised about that.
No, I dropped a crumb that we'd see a familiar face back, and that was Ari Wolf.
Yeah. So along with those two guys, it's going to be Jeff... Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Skavernsky.
Yeah, he's going to be the sideline reporter. And then for the AFL Now Twitter broadcast, it's going to be John Mediparel, who has done a few of the CBS games this year and is the host of the league's official podcast. And then Joe DeCarama. Camara. Sorry, De Camara. And I think he is from 6ABC, if I remember correctly. So they flipped them up, and
yeah, he covers the soul for TV and radio.
I would have just hoped, you know, for their. I understand, you know, if that is the case with the Philadelphia ties for Ari Wolf, that. I just wish that they would have gone with Zed and Ari for the main international broadcast. You know, no slight at all to the other broadcasting at all, because John.
But just more arena bowl experience and more arena football history and knowledge with one group over the other. That's all.
And from what I understand, also, it's very possible. And this is, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's supposedly that 6ABC also streams online. So you're going to have, if it's not on TV or if it's also on TV in the Philadelphia area, you're going to have dueling broadcasts online.
Options for the fans, baby. Options for the fans. Yeah.
And all free. So that, you know, again, that, I think for the first time, is this the first time besides having international broadcasts where they dub it themselves and the league doesn't really announce it, that I think that we've had two broadcast teams. You know, this isn't the WWE. This isn't like the WWE where we have, you know, WrestleMania. They got seven different types of broadcasters doing WrestleMania. You know, you know, the infamous Spanish announcing table. So, as I said, it's a positive. It is a positive. You know,
better for the fans.
But is it just to me? I wish it were flipped. I wish it were flipped. But again, as I said,
and then you also have the radio as well.
That's true. Yeah.
Jason Dixon will be coming back, a Netty Award-winning radio broadcaster, and he'll be joining Derek Sharp on the Tampa Bay Storm broadcast.
Be like old days, man. Old days.
And that is something people can listen to on iHeartRadio.
I'm trying to remember. Did
WHNZ?
Was it both of those team? Was it both those two guys also back in for Arena Bowl 24, or was it Jack still then?
It was still Jack.
Still Jack.
And it was Arena Bowl 23.
Okay. Arena Bowl 23. Yeah.
But yeah, and fans, if they can't, if it's Twitter's not, they can't pick it up, they can listen to it 1250 WHNZ on iHeartRadio, or you can just go to their website and go listen live.
And same thing with Philadelphia. I just don't remember the call letters.
I can't remember what station they're on. If they're on. I think they're on the Fanatic 95.7.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, four different broadcast teams. Should be cool. I'm looking forward to it. Especially being there in person. That'll be cool. And supposedly, we can't get any true numbers, by the way, but having, by the way, who is it that on Twitter tweeted something from Jaws, specifically a very well-known, what's his name? Very well-known NFL guy, insider.
Adam Schefter.
Yeah. Him tweeting that something out, that saying that he used the word sold out.
I don't think it's quite sold out yet, but they're getting close. Their ticket sales are going well.
That'll be fun. It'll be Cleveland all over again. Well, Cleveland, Arizona last year too. Yeah, Arizona was pretty good.
Yeah.
So to have that should be a, that's gonna be a big crowd. That's gonna be a big crowd.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement being generated. Both teams are doing a good job of putting some things out on social media to pump people up. Both teams, Tampa Bay Storm, are going to host a watch party at Amalie Arena up on their party deck. The Philadelphia Soul, they're going to have a post game party at Xfinity on the far end of the parking lot from the arena. They're going to have a fan zone before the game. So they're both teams are doing a lot of work to make this big deal, a spectacle, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, the official all time attendance for a Philadelphia Soul game was May 17th, 2008, at 18,741 people versus the Columbus Destroyers. I don't know. Was that at the old Spectrum?
No, that's not the old Spectrum. No. The building they play in has changed names a bunch of times.
Okay.
Yeah, the Wells Fargo Center, gloriously, for a bit of time, First Union was the sponsor, and it was the FU Center.
Nice. And it was this was at Wells Fargo. This was at Wells Fargo. I just double checked.
So, yeah. No, the old Spectrum
They only did that for 1 year, right? I think they only did that for 1 year where they had to flip-flop because of scheduling conflicts with the Flyers or the Sixers.
Yeah, and that I believe Bon Jovi was the last act in that building before they imploded it.
Nice.
I've been to Flyer games and seen the Ringling Brothers in the old Spectrum.
Okay.
A bunch of times. It was
So when Bon Jovi finished up the show, did he give him the double salute?
Like Bud Adams?
See you later, Philadelphia! Anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, if you've never seen the infamous...
Was that against the Colorado Crush?
I'm trying to remember who it was against, but I mean, Bon Jovi basically gave, on TV, I think it was an ABC broadcast, basically gave the double bird. And
yeah.
At that time, it went viral.
That was about the same time.
For what you consider being viral at that point.
Yeah, that was about the same time, isn't it? Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was before Bud Adams with the Tennessee Titans, correct?
I'm looking.
Because he went all full-fledged, like, emphasizing with arm gestures and... Like, he had, like, a 10-second display.
Oh, yeah. I know, I've seen the pictures. I can't hear it. Flip bird. Come on, man. Is it not that big? It has to be that big. Or is it only arena football lore? Is that one of those things?
No, I remember vividly him doing it.
No. I've seen the picture. I've seen the screen cap. But, I mean, it's...
Was it 2006?
I'm checking now.
2007?
2007.
Seven.
It's 2007. I have it right here. Oh, Deadspin, where would we be without you? And it was versus Georgia.
Ah, all right. You know what? The Soul have done a great job of reaching out to people to help hype the game, from getting the mayor of Philadelphia, although it did look like, I think someone commented he used a flip phone to record his video, their hashtag Roll with the Soul. Doing a fabulous job of getting people to come out, from Bon Jovi wearing his old Soul jersey and
Kurt Warner,
getting old wrestlers to come out, old WWE wrestlers, or I should say they were WWF wrestlers, and local businesses changing their marquee signs to Roll with the Soul. Fabulous job. And as I say that, I'm going to call out the local paper in the Tampa Bay area, the Tampa Bay Times, for their lack of coverage. Anyone listening, write them a letter and admonish them and chastise them for their lack of coverage and lack of celebration for what the local team has done this year. Mm-hmm. There is not a local team that has shown more success in this market than the Tampa Bay Storm. And when they called it Title Town in 2003, you had the Lightning win a cup. Technically, Stanley Cup was in 2004, but the season was 2003. Arena Bowl in 2003, the Bucks won the Super Bowl, and there was a lot of excitement, a lot of coverage. Now it's literally nothing from the local newspaper.
Great.
So for those listening, take an opportunity. Send an email, write a letter, call them out on for their lack of coverage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they should be ashamed, especially when you look at what's going on in Philadelphia, a city which is significantly much larger in scale and scope and population, even if you take the entire Tampa Bay market into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're doing so much more locally to support that team. It's a shame for the Storm right now. It's downright embarrassing.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, and it's sad. I mean, what Philadelphia has done is absolutely it's crazy what they've done. You know, all the
the Phillies.
Yeah, Philly. I mean, Radabaugh throwing out the first pitch for the Phillies game. They were at the Eagles
preseason
game and were acknowledged. Yeah.
Did the Rays do that? Did Tampa Bay Rays do anything? No. They didn't partner with them.
Well, they
could. Did the Buccaneers do anything? No. They sent social media tweets. That was nice. But what is happening in the Philadelphia market
for the Soul? You would think with Derek Brooks that they would have done more.
It's not happening. It's abysmal. It's disappointing. It is embarrassing. It's downright just – I'm shocked. I'm terribly disappointed. Even the local sports radio stations – all they put in is during their little updates, you know, when you go to commercial,
yeah,
a 2-second blurb.
Yeah.
Whereas even in Philadelphia, a high-powered market, they're doing interviews with everybody, and they're talking about the game, and they're talking about the team, yeah. and talking about the success. Yeah. It's not happening in the Tampa Bay market, and it's a shame.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Do not forget that we are on social media. There are multiple places that you can find us. All the major ones that are out there. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Hope to get some great shots for our Instagram and all of our social media outlets for during this this next coming days and the experience in Philadelphia. Do not forget that you can listen to the last three episodes of this season over on SoundCloud and any of the episodes from the past 10 years of our archive can be listened to over on iTunes or on Google Play Music. We actually were very lucky enough, Jim, before we talk about the Arena Bowl just a touch, because they said we're probably going to have a show, a short show with Adam Markowitz from Philadelphia. Two questions from our fan, from two different fans, one from Sean and a new one from I'm thinking it's Jason Knoll. It comes up as Knoll Jason, so yeah, Jason Knoll. Jason Knoll from he is from Enola, Pennsylvania. And his question to us, Jim, was just wondering if you know if there are any proposed rule changes for the next season, or if there are any rule changes that either of you, you and me, would like to see in the game. Thanks.
I'll take the first question. I'll start off with the first question.
Okay.
Currently, nobody's talking about that right now. The focus is on Arena Bowl, and that discussion really won't occur until the end of the league year. The earliest that we'll hear whispers of it is going to be in October, and you have different committees within the board, and one of them is the rules committee. That stuff will be proffered and brought up. I'm going to tell you that there are bigger things on the agenda for as far as committees go, the two of those things being the CBA
and expansion. The CBA, yeah.
So that's not saying that won't be talked about, but that's on the back burner, and those will be just secondary discussions. To be honest, I haven't asked about it, haven't even thought about it, just partially because that doesn't really occur until, like, October.
Yeah. No, yeah, and that kind of makes sense. What about the second question? Do you have any rules that you like to change, modify? I'm going to go with some things that have been added in. I wonder if they would expand replay a little bit. I've seen some issues with other leagues having to reduce the calls because it slows down the game or whatnot. But maybe the league to look at PIs. Just out of curiosity, allow certain rules to be challenged, any penalties to be challenged. I don't know how slow how much it would slow down the game, but I mean, I'm curious to see how it would work in other leagues. Other than that,
I think the problem with that is some is objective versus subjective.
Yeah, but as I said, we've been able to see it mainly in the CFL.
Yeah,
and I know they made some modifications to the rules because coaches were finding loopholes. That's for another show.
Well,
no, it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
The good coaches find those loopholes, and I think somebody mentioned the offensive holding call at the end of the Storm game against Cleveland.
Yeah,
and it just brought back memories of
the Baltimore game too. Yeah, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and that obvious DPI.
Oh, well, no. That's what you were talking about. Yeah, I get that. And that's kind of the antithesis or the push for where you're going with what you were saying. No, I was – someone had brought up on the boards about to be quite honest, I don't recall the play and how it came about. And it was seriously 2 weeks ago that I read the thread. But they were talking about offensive holding and – I specifically, and they didn't like the rule, and they questioned if the rule was applied properly, and if it had been applied properly, that they didn't like the rule. And I totally understand that, but it's been that way for a long time. And I clearly remember Tim Markham coaching up players. Hey, at the end of game, here's different scenarios, and here's what we can do, and here's what we can't do. Whatever you do, don't do this, but if you need to, you go ahead and commit this penalty. And what brought that to light was you saying coaches exploiting the rules.
Right. No, that makes sense. Makes sense. Now, what about you? Any rules that you'd like to add, change, modify?
Nah, you know, I would like to get rid of the Tim McGill rule where guys are sent off the field. First off, it is not by that I mean jumping off sides.
Yeah, they're ejected.
And then your second one in the first half, you can't participate on defense anymore for that half. And then in the second half, if it happens again, you're same thing. You're done for the game. You can play offensive special teams, but you can't participate in defense.
Right.
I don't like how the rule came about. I don't like how the rules applied. It's replied inconsistently, and I just don't like it. I get rid of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just make the calls, and if a player commits a penalty, call the penalty. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid.
No, they don't play in the league anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to really take a look back and see how some different things occurred and broke down, but I'd like to see some retraction on that rule.
Okay.
And then I think on other rules, I think I just want to see some better enforcement or on how it comes out in the game. Particularly you brought up reviews, so I'll say reviews. I think we saw some inconsistency with how the referees approached the review process this year.
I agree.
That, to me, is a frustrating proposal there.
Yeah, maybe make some modifications. Thanks, though. Jason, thanks for chiming in. I wish you would have chimed in earlier, but if you want to chime in later on, by all means, do so. You can email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com, and I will pass the information along to Jim, see if we can answer the questions, or, again, if it can be pleasantry mail or it can be hate mail. It doesn't matter. We take all kinds. We don't discriminate here in the show.
And we don't spew the hate back.
No.
We spread love and harmony and peace.
Yeah, don't. We don't delete you. Yet. Yet. Second question comes to a question vet this year comes to us from Sean, and he has two questions. Always with two questions.
So he's making up. He's making up for last week. He didn't have any last week.
I guess so. Now that the season is in the books, except for the Arena Bowl, what was the one thing? What one thing surprised you the most about the season? I am gonna go with. To me, maybe only five teams. I'm going to go with parity, and people, shut your yaps, please, when I'm saying this, because yes, you had two teams that were 3-11, one was 3-11, one was 4-10. It doesn't matter. Look at how close these games were. That is the true sign to me of parity. It doesn't matter how many teams you have. If we get up to the point where we're 6-8 teams next year, hopefully, and it stays that way, Jim, you can only imagine how much of a positive that would be for the league. So for me, even though it was a question mark going into the year how it was going to work with having two expansion teams, I was pleasantly surprised with how close and how enjoyable, I can say 98% of the games were this year. You?
I agree with you. I had two thoughts pop in my head. One was that, what you just stated, and it's not so much surprise, but I was rather excited about and enjoyed. I was happy about that. I found that exciting. So I guess technically that's not an answer to the question as far as being surprised. Mm-hmm. My surprise was the play of the Washington Valor.
A team that was good on paper, but ..
And it seems every season that occurs in one league or another, I really thought they were going to perform better. Some might posit the Cleveland Gladiators, but with the injuries they had, and to be quite fair, maybe I pegged them with a couple more wins, but I had them finishing third.
Okay.
The Valor to me, the lack of excellence the lack of reach of excellence to me was the biggest surprise. I expected more out of that team.
Okay.
I really did.
The second question is, for each of the five current teams, what's the one thing they need? The one thing they need the most fix or improve before next season? And
do you want to pick a team and then you go, I go?
Because what I'm about to say is lumping them all together. And it's not an out. No. You'll understand when I say it.
Okay, no, fair enough.
It's not an out.
Hey, man, it's your podcast. You do what you want to do.
It's our podcast. I don't discriminate. Okay, because every single player in the Arena Football League this year is on a one-year contract, most likely because of the current situation with the CBA and it expiring at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Every single team could be completely different next year in every single way, whether it be there's five teams or more. Because there's no way of knowing who is going to be on your roster the next season, it's going to be a little bit hard for me, at least, to say Baltimore needs to do this, Washington needs to do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My one thing that I would say is that if possible, these teams seem more four of the five teams. Washington, I wouldn't consider this. They need to try to keep their core, if possible. But as I said, to me, it's too much of a variable right now until the CBA is signed to determine what each of these teams needs to do in 2018. And as I said, it's not an out, but you just have to look at the reality, because usually there would be rookies that you could decide to keep. You'd have these other players that you would be able to keep. But in this case, 2017 is a very unique year when it comes to player contracts in the Arena Football League. 2018 and the offseason, just as it normally is, will be very, very interesting.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to take the question at face value and approach it as a hypothetical, as that things stay as they are. All the teams are in the same boat and face the same questions and difficulties as far as building their roster and figuring out how they're going to get from this season to the next season. So I'll go the other direction that you did and say, for each team, I think the biggest, and I'll start from top and go down. Top, Philadelphia Soul had the best record, so we'll start there. Philadelphia Soul, it's not about fixing and finding. I think it's about keeping and maintaining. And maybe finding one player on offense and one player on defense. I'd say a wide receiver and probably defensive linemen to infuse some youth into the roster.
Right.
They have some players in place to do those things. There's not much work they need to do. It's more about maintaining and keeping going what they have. They have a good thing going, and the reason they're in the position they are this year, with the record they have, is they have maintained consistency for a prolonged period of time. When the Rattlers were at the top of the league, they maintained consistency for a long period of time from season to season. And what we've seen is the teams that prosper and continually prosper are the teams that do that well. And so for the Philadelphia Soul, it's a continuation of that. For the Tampa Bay Storm, they need to get on that train that we just talked about. Consistency and maintaining. And what they need to do is bring in another pass rusher, someone that can, I don't necessarily mean sacks, create havoc and pressure. I think they need another guy on their defensive line, and I think offensive line, they need another mainstay. If they can do that, you can work with the other positions. I think their DBs are underrated because of there's a lack of pressure, where the pressure isn't consistent. I think those DBs, if they had a line that provided more pressure, their coverage would increase and improve. So for me, for the Tampa Bay Storm, my two keys to them is obviously keeping and maintaining, but adding another offense and defense alignment to the mix that bolsters your roster. Next would be Cleveland. Health. They need to stay healthy. They have some good players, and I think they need to bring in a legit see if they can keep Tanner Marsh. From everything I've heard, they like Tanner Marsh. And Tanner Marsh, if they can bring him back and it's a big if, but if they can, and have him compete with Arvel Nelson. Nelson needs to be pushed. Nelson needs to find consistency. He did not have the consistency this season that he had last season, and the team suffered offensively for it. They still had their games in which they had outbursts, but he wasn't consistent enough. As far as the other positions, they caught an injury bug, and they need to find a way to get over that. And sometimes teams face that in weird years, and that's just the way it occurs. But for me, competition at the quarterback position, and they could use another offensive lineman as well. I think if they can keep that defense intact, especially with the additions they had at the end of the year with Mario Norman, they had an aggressive defensive backfield that could make plays. I think they went across the line sometimes, but that's attributed to their aggressive play, and that's something you kind of learn to live with. And as a coach, you just have to make sure, like, hey guys, let's we need to reel it in a little bit right now. Come on, let's stay composed. If they can do that, we're going to see their fortunes rise next season. Baltimore, keep Shane Carden healthy, and I would suggest they need to bring someone else on staff to help nurture and grow Carden. They need someone that doesn't just understand offense, but understands quarterback play in the Arena Football League. I think the world of Omar Smith as a head coach. And I think James Rowe started coming to his own this year. And happy birthday to him today. It's his birthday. He came into, was coming into his own this season. He's going to be better next season with some more time under his belt. But if they can find someone that can teach the nuances and the intricacies to Shane Carden, I really feel the sky's the limit for that kid. And that would be the biggest boon they can find. The next step is, identifying that key core, bringing them back. I think they need to improve their offensive line play. Reggie Gray is gone. He announced, we talked about this last week. He's moving on to a coaching position. They need to find a receiver, a dynamic receiver to bring into that core, and somebody that can take over a game and continue to develop the young guys they have now.
Okay.
And then that leaves Washington, the Valor. They have some talented guys there. They need to figure out, I think even before they figure out which guys they want to keep, I think they have to figure out a philosophy of the type of player they want and how the culture within the organization from a football standpoint is going to proceed forward. It looks murky and cloudy to me. To me, that's the biggest thing they need to fix. If they can fix that, they have some talent, keep those guys there, they can keep those guys happy. And then from there, I think Greg Carr was not in his tip-top shape. If he had been in tip-top shape, he'd been a different player, and he probably would have been an all-arena player. At least second team, possibly first team. He wasn't in that shape. I love TT. I think he might play again. But at this stage in his career, he's a valuable vet and mentor on the team. He's not going to be the dominant game changer game in and game out. He still could have a game here and there, but outside of that, he's gonna effectively be a wise vet journeyman.
Okay.
They can get better on their offensive line, and they need to identify a quarterback and find a quarterback.
Yes. Yes, they do.
They don't have – it's not on their roster, and this is a quarterback-driven league. And without a quarterback, that team will flounder. No matter how good that defensive side of the football is, they will flounder without a quarterback.
Okay. All fair points. And thanks again, obviously, Sean, for your question. It'll be very interesting, as I said. It usually is anyway. Always an interesting offseason in the Arena Football League, and we have a lot more to look forward to this year than just – where players are going to go. So
we may have to do some off-season shows.
We might have to, dude. We may have to. We're not going to, we're not going to get much into the Arena Bowl because we are going to do a show. And I know we're probably, a lot of you are rolling your eyes. But one thing I did want to say is that even with the line that came out when we did our show last week. It's basically stayed the same.
Not much has changed.
Yeah, not much has changed. Five Dimes has Philadelphia favored by 11.5 points with an over-under of 104. And little teasers, and you can probably confirm this or not, is it true from what we've seen on Facebook and on social media, specifically through the Tampa Bay Storm social media outlets, that Tampa is going to be wearing their home blues and Philadelphia is wearing their whites? Because remember, we saw the picture of the photo with the Arena Bolt patch, and it was placed on the home blue uniforms. And in a picture I saw today for Philadelphia, unless it's from an archival photo, they're practicing in their white helmets. So I'm thinking, have you heard anything of that, Jim?
No, you know, I saw everything you were talking about, and I didn't put two and two together with all that. And to be quite honest, I don't care.
I know, but it's
but fair point. With Philadelphia being the home team, the election is theirs. They get to make that decision. If it was the Tampa Bay Storm that said, just happenstance, they wanted to wear their blues, they would have to approach Philly and say, hey, we'd like to wear the blues. Are you okay with doing this? And then it's Philly's decision to say yes or no. I would hazard to guess that they probably practice in the white helmets all the time. I don't know. I haven't seen all their practice pictures throughout the season, but usually you're not changing up helmets in practice because that's what you're going to play in.
Okay.
You just wear your helmet.
Right.
I mean, it more it sounds super, no, to be fair, though, stupid, more, super more simple, but it is.
Yeah, but more often than not, from what I've seen, is that if they're going to be wearing, whether it be NFL, CFL, whatever, if you're going to be playing in a specific helmet for that week's game so you can get the reps in the helmet, you'll be wearing that helmet.
That helmet, yeah. So
I'm thinking this may be interesting. It may be.
So my guess is Philadelphia decided they were going to go with their whites. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe they like playing in their whites. Who knows? Whatever. They made the decision, and that made it necessary for the Storm to wear their blues.
Yeah. So as I said, watch the transactions. The only thing that we can say is that Sean McDaniel has been placed on IR. That came across the wire today.
Well, from now on, transactions, you're not going to see guys on and off roster. You're just going to see guys.
To me, this is the big thing. This was a big move. This was a big move. I mean, considering we knew he was hurt for the last game in semifinal, and so they will be without him for the Arena Bowl.
Saw their social media post, you clearly saw the cast on his right hand.
Yes, exactly. So just want to mention that. So
that's a significant loss at the wide receiver position. I know the young guy stepped up and played well in his first game. But, you know, it's nice to have Chris Duvall back. He's a good kick returner, but I don't know if you're going to trade in Chris Duvall for Ryan McDaniel.
I'm sure you wouldn't in a normal situation, but it looks like that's going to be the case here. So,
I'll tell you what I find interesting. We saw two big injuries in their last game to Sean Daniels and
Money Reynolds.
Yeah. And they were not listed on the injury reports.
Nope.
The practice injury reports that came out, and I posted those on Twitter, and you posted those on Twitter as well. It's so I'm assuming they miraculously had a solid and spectacular bye week and got healthy real quick.
So spent a lot of time in that oxygen chamber. You will be hearing from us again. We're going to give our picks, and we are going to have a show that is scheduled with Adam Markowitz when he and I are in Philadelphia.
Probably do that Thursday night, and you'll post it late Thursday night, early Friday morning.
Something like that, yep.
Something like that.
So keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for any other major announcements that may come out from the Arena League during this next week, next 3 or 4 days, and we'll go from there. But Jim, wish you were coming.
Me too.
But if anybody's going to be there, you can shoot me an email again, tim.cappert@arenafan.com. If you want to get together, or if you know, already tag me on Facebook or whatnot, we'll be there. And if everything works according to plan, I'll be more than happy to get together and at least say hi. But keep keep an eye on social media to see if there's anything special that Arena Fan may be doing for any get-togethers during the next couple of days. So, Jim, I will speak to you from Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
And I will see many of you, I'm sure, in the city of brotherly love this weekend for Arena Bowl 30. So for everybody here at AFL Tonight, for Jim Robinson, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the Nets.
Deuces.